This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Petty, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
It is another episode of Radio Law Talk. We're heading into hour number two here on the show. Todd Kunin sitting in the big chair for Fred Penny, who is on assignment to my right, as I said previously, in the place of prominence and distinction. Denise Dirks. Denise, how are you?
I'm doing great.
That's a very festive outfit you have there.
I was in the mood to be festive today. I kind of match Cal, which is very odd.
We called each other.
Yes, I just went with the traditional black because it's so slimming. And
ooh,
yes, and that voice, the smooth tones behind the glass. Cal, Hunter, Cal, how you doing?
You know, really well, thank you. Glad to be here. I got to broadcast some high school football last night, and that's always fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, you know, because strange things happen in high school sports.
Oh, boy.
So you're listening to Radio Law Talk. You know, we didn't cover this last hour. We probably should this hour. You're listening to Radio Law Talk, and everything that we say here, while informative and entertaining and only rivaled by, as Fred would say, those alien shows, please know that the things that we say here on Radio Law Talk should not be construed as legal advice for your particular issue or any issue in general. Don't go to court saying, we heard on Radio Law Talk. In fact, as we say commonly, the only time you could really cite Radio Law Talk and probably have it be persuasive is when you're sitting around the dinner table and somebody says, well, they said, and then you can say, well, I don't know who they are, but in Radio Law Talk, Todd, Fred, and Denise said, or Cal said, and that might help you out. I think the only advice that I could probably give anybody on the air is seek an attorney. The only advice I could give is when you come up with something, if you're facing an issue that you have, find an attorney that you can talk to specifically about your case so that your conversations are protected by the attorney-client privilege, and if you retain that individual, they are loyal only and have a duty to you to represent you in your case that's specific to not only the issue you're facing, but how that issue is handled in your jurisdiction.
And remember that we're talking about, a lot of times, just mere allegations, and information that we're putting out there is allegations are not necessarily truth. We'll let you know if there's been an actual conviction or something to that effect. So always remember that it's just, it could be just scuttlebutt.
And most time you're working from the actual case files or copies of them. Many times we're working from media reports, and so their reliability is something for which we cannot vouch.
Absolutely. For more information on our disclaimers, please go to our website, radiolawtalk.com, and you can find our disclaimer page there, where you can find out the extent of our advice that we give or not advice, as the case may be. But one thing that we do every hour that is absolutely scintillating and probably the hallmark of our show, or one of those that people listen to, is Case or No Case. Cal.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Oh, you have to feel sorry for Dan Shannon and Jay Kelly. Dan Shannon and Jay Kelly. They belong to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals group in New Jersey. They had just attended an anti-hunting campaign meeting where they were mapping out anti-strategy hunting when, as they were driving home in their Honda Civic, a deer bounded out in front of them and they hit and murdered the deer. and they decided they would sue the New Jersey Department of Fish and Game, or at least look into it, maybe just hold them accountable. They said, yeah, we think it's their fault. And everybody says, why do you think it's their fault? And they said, because the New Jersey Department of Fish and Game has decided that there need to be more deer in New Jersey, so hunters have more things to shoot at, and therefore they are at fault, and we're going to go after them with everything we have. And I ask you, Denise, I believe you're up first. I ask you, case or no case?
Sorry. Okay. Now, these are people that have kind of an extremist idea about ethical treatment of animals, to the extent that there should be no hunting of any animals, there should be no harm to any animals. So would this type of a person, which I agree to some extent to what they say, but I don't agree necessarily a complete exclusion, you know, or preclusion.
Right.
And because I do believe that there should be some hunting if there's too many animals to hunt.
Right.
The question is, does New Jersey Fish and Game actually control the amount of deer and the population, and do they let their hunts do the controlling? Right? That's the issue. So I believe that this is a made-up case. No case.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Coonan, what say you?
Well,
case or no case?
I'll tell you, I'm torn on this because I am a member of PETA, but not the traditional PETA. I'm a member of People for the Eating of Tasty Animals.
Okay, well, and, different group, but same initials. Right, got it. Okay.
The other extremist.
Yes, I do like a good filet. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Look, I just hopped onto Twitter, and I'm not looking up anything here, but I remembered this. There's another one of these groups that has as their tagline that this group exists because this fragile earth deserves a voice. I'm thinking, fragile earth, for crying out loud. It's earth isn't fragile.
It's put up with us for all these years.
I know.
It's, doing, yeah, right.
it's pretty darn strong, but anyway, let's see here. I'm going to say it's a case. Look, at first blush, I would say no case, but I'm so far behind in points, I have to go the opposite of what Denise does.
And just, I love when he does that because he always does it wrong.
Yeah, just to have a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks of getting anywhere. So I'm going to say that this is a case. And I am going to say that the PETA folks lose. They do not prevail in any lawsuit against the state of New Jersey. So it's a case, and New Jersey wins. This is ridiculous.
Well, these two guys said, we think the reason the deer was hit by our car is because it was running from all the violence of hunting.
Yeah, and then they killed it, and then they skinned it,
they murdered
and then
it.
They and then
what time of year was this? When
it was hunting season.
It was hunting season.
Sure, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm going to stick to that anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I always kind of wondered. You know, these guys go out there to hunt deer, and they get their high-powered rifles and everything. If you could find a gun that would shoot a bullet that only traveled about 65 miles an hour and had a headlight on the top of it, you'd probably kill more deer because they just stop for it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, they stare at the lights.
Yes.
You can be frozen by them.
Yeah.
All right, so let's
They're blinded, actually, by the lights.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly, like the song. So let's get down blinded by the... So let's get down to this if we can.
Kudos if you know what the actual lyric there is.
Yeah, something about dude, but I don't know the whole thing. Okay, so...
Wrapped up like a...
Dude...
Okay, interesting. After the break, we'll do the lyric. But go ahead, Cal.
All right. For those of you who say this was not a case, would you be kind enough to raise your hand? That would be the lovely Ms. Dirks. It's an actual case, ladies and gentlemen. They actually sued the New Jersey Department of Fish and Game, saying, you're letting too many deer grow, man. And then they're running from the hunters, and so they run in front of people's cars and commit deericide. or words to that effect. Well, needless to say, they were just trying to blame someone for when they killed the deer. Courts in the case was not interested in their particular argument. They didn't win anything or anything like that. But it was pretty interesting stuff, I thought, that someone would say, hey,
It's your fault there are so many deer out there, and we're going to sue you because of it. I was fascinated by that.
So do I get 2 points?
Yes, you
points.
Do.
Absolutely.
You're at 23, by the way.
Yeah, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is Case or No Case, and it's also this segment. So we'll take a quick break here, and we'll come right back with more Radio Law Talk right after this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to ProLawFirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to ProLawFirms.com. That's ProLawFirms.com.
ProLawFirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at Penny & Associates.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Or Todd Kunin, as the case may be today. Folks, space is the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Star Trek Radio Law Talk. It's multi-year mission to seek out new life and go where no person has boldly gone before. But what happens when crimes occur in space within maybe our own solar system or an orbit of the Earth? Denise, what happened?
Denise, are you there? Yes, you are.
I'm here. We've got Anne McLean, who is a NASA astronaut, and her former spouse. Well, actually, not a former spouse. It's her current spouse, Summer Warden. She just filed for divorce, and they've separated, and they filed for divorce. And this is a very interesting case. This happens absolutely all the time. I see it all the time, where one spouse will get information and access to the other spouse's financial information. First of all, is it improper or a crime? Probably not, to be candid. If it was a joint account, definitely not, because both spouse would have rights to see the information in the joint account. The astronaut was up in the space station. She admits that she accessed the account, the bank account of her estranged spouse.
Either estranged or ex, or were they ex?
Not ex.
Still estranged.
Yep, they just filed for divorce, but there's been no judgment of dissolution of this marriage. And so we're looking at whether or not it's a crime to access an estranged spouse's financial records. And I say first it's going to, what's really going to matter is the characterization of the account. Is it a joint account or is it a separate account? Is it an account that was opened after the divorce and was initiated? You know, those are the kind of things we don't really know yet. But the allegations from Summer Warden is that Anne McLean accessed her account improperly, was spying on her, and has been using different types of mechanisms and manipulations to try to get custody of her son. And it's Warden's son. It's not McLean's son.
Which, by the way, she got without the other partner's knowledge, is my understanding. If she wasn't, the other partner wasn't even aware this was happening until the son kind of showed up, if I read the story correctly. I could be wrong about
and
that.
And that part is unclear, too. If it's of the marriage, this should be a child, but of the marriage, right? But
right.
If the child was born before the marriage, then we're looking at is just a stepchild. Although there may still be a parental relationship, it doesn't mean that they're going to automatically get custody.
Right, and it's still a can of worms, so they're fighting over it, right?
That's correct. Right. And there's been nasty allegations. McLean initially brought a complaint against Warden saying that there was a assault happened. And so that then was, you know, dismissed from the court. And now we're into this place where now Warden's saying she's stolen my identity to access my account. And the funny part about it is the response by McLean is, oh, no, I didn't steal the identity. We have, throughout our entire relationship, had access to this account through passwords that are known to both of us. So this is going to come down to whether the characterization of the account.
And besides, I was just checking in to make sure you had enough money to pay your bills.
And make sure that you're properly taking care of our son.
Right.
Kind of the allegation, right?
And the bills, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Warden now has gone so far as to file a Federal Trade Commission complaint, saying that McLean had committed identity theft. So
okay,
this is now going to be an issue about whether or not that theft happened. Is it a crime? What jurisdiction
is the space station, the International Space Station, U.S. jurisdiction?
That's the $64,000 question here.
Wow.
Is if this is a criminal allegation, if this goes to the extent of being a criminal allegation and she faces criminal liability, what's the jurisdiction here? And
exactly.
That raises, because it's the International Space Station.
It is.
And
but it's not just U.S. There's been, Russian involvement?
Russian, Japanese, Indian, from the country of India. I think even some Chinese scientists have been involved.
Now, I will tell you, I think I have an answer, but before we get to that, here's some of the questions that come up here. The question is, at what point, where is the space station? I mean, is it based upon its orbit? You know, the space station doesn't follow a fixed orbit. It doesn't follow a geosynchronous orbit. The orbit changes all the time. We do know that it's at various points over various locations on the Earth. Your airspace goes straight up from the landmarker. Who knows?
What country were they over when this took place?
Exactly. And let me tell you why that is and is not an issue. Let's say a crime took place on the space station itself. We'll just say murder. Somebody kills somebody else on the space station. That would be a bigger issue because the crime is confined within that station. So
right.
Maybe it would be an issue about where things are. But when it comes to identity theft, jurisdiction is established wherever the victim resides.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that makes sense. If your identity is stolen, somebody gets your credit card number and you don't know where they're at, maybe they're
in Europe,
another country, wherever, you can still have that prosecuted in the county that you live in because that's where you are at.
And that's where the damage occurs.
Exactly. So in this case here, jurisdiction isn't that much of an issue because it can be established wherever the person, the estranged spouse, was on Earth. That is the jurisdiction of where it is prosecuted, and because it's a federal offense, the FTC probably has jurisdiction, so it's not going to be that much
of an
issue.
And I was thinking, you know, international law is going to now start to deal with space and jurisdiction and crimes in space and all of that, just like they had to do with maritime law.
True.
And I feel like it's probably going to be developed similar to maritime law.
I just don't want to have to pass the bar exam in space. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if you do, you'd be truly an international attorney.
You'd be an alien.
Hey, Todd Tiernan, an attorney who is out of this world.
Wait a minute. Just like the girls in the Amargosa Valley.
Hey, you could contact us at 855-529-7234 or tweet us at Radio Law Talk.
You can also email us at info@radiolawtalk.com, and radiolawtalk.com is where you'll find our live stream and all of our podcasts as well. And we thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Hurricane Dorian continues to move toward Florida with increasing fury, becoming an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm, but leaving forecasters uncertain whether it would make a direct hit. The storm's winds are up to over 140 miles an hour as Dorian gains strength in the Atlantic waters. Sirhan Sirhan, imprisoned for more than 50 years for the 1968 assassination of Senator Robert F. Kennedy, was hospitalized after being stabbed by a fellow inmate at a San Diego prison. A statement from the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation said the stabbing occurred Friday afternoon at the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility near San Diego. Officers responded quickly and found an inmate with stab wound injuries. He was transported to the outside hospital for medical care and is currently in stable condition. Don't forget, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Oh, stop it.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
So, we just got through talking about a case from space. And if you were listening last hour, or actually the last segment, you may have caught when we didn't really cover the dynamic of the marriage between the astronaut and her estranged spouse back on Earth. But if you were listening closely, you would find that we were talking about two women in, obviously, a same-sex marriage. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because it segues into the next case that we are going to talk about, which is the clerk in Kentucky who had refused to give marriage licenses to same-sex couples based upon her own religious belief. And there have been some developments in that. Denise, what do we know?
We know that in a 3-0 decision, so that means unanimous, out of the 6 U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, the county clerk can be sued in her individual capacity because she refused to give licenses out to people who wanted to get married. Now, her argument was that she had immunity. She had sovereign immunity because she was the Rowan County clerk. And in that position, she has some kind of qualified sovereign immunity by virtue of being a part of the state or the county agency. And what we know is that, she can now be sued. And we've got two same-sex couples that have sued her for failing or refusing, actually, to issue marriage licenses to them so they could get married. And now what we've got is her defense is that, look, I didn't mean any ill intent. I just quit completely signing any marriage licenses completely. So I didn't just discriminate against same-sex issuing them because my religious belief is that there is not same-sex marriage. It's against my religious belief.
That's right. So that's why she did it. And again, we're talking about two different things here. There is her liability as the clerk of the county and then individual liability of her own person, regardless of her governmental function. And when it comes to performing your functions or not doing so as a government official, there is the idea of sovereign immunity. And I believe, if I'm correct, the court said, yeah, you're right. You can't sue her as the clerk, but you can sue her individually.
I think they said you could, that she sovereign immunity sheltered her from being sued in her role as a clerk.
Yes, but as in her individual capacity, she could be sued. Now, look. I want to draw the distinction here. That does not mean that the plaintiffs win the lawsuit. All that means is that the lawsuit can be brought. The arguments still have to be made that maybe the law, the violation of constitutional principles and things like that, can be violated by a person in their individual capacity. Because let's remember this, folks. When it comes to allegations of constitutional rights being violated, the only entity that you are protected from having your rights violated from is a governmental entity. The Constitution exists to protect people from governmental overreach, from governmental denial of rights, from governments doing this. So the government can't deny your free speech, but a private employer can tell you, you can't say this at work. The government can't do unreasonable searches and seizures in your house. But kids, guess what? Your parents can, because they're not the government, okay? And so you have all of that. The question is going to be, to what extent is she still facing liability when they say that, well, sovereign immunity applies to her as a clerk, but into her individual capacity? I think that's going to be an interesting argument there.
Actually, the district court denied her qualified immunity claim. They actually got down to it, and they upheld. So the district court, Judge Richard Griffin, wrote, the district court therefore correctly denied qualified immunity to her because plaintiffs pled a violation of their right to marry. It doesn't matter if they're same-sex, by the way. The violation of their right to marry, and that the Supreme Court established in the previous case of Obergefell. How do you say that word?
Oh, it's
Obergefell.
Obergefell.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, and that's the one that established the right to marry, even between same-sex couples. So under here, she quit completely issuing licenses, did not do her duty that she was supposed to do, that she was actually appointed to do, and or voted and elected to do. And so anybody, even the heterosexual couples could have sued her.
Yes, yes. And I think we might be talking apples and oranges here, because what they held here is, in her role as the clerk, her government, she has sovereign immunity. So then the next question is whether or not she has qualified immunity as an individual. And I'll talk about it in different terms, for example. When I was a district attorney, when I was a DA, I had immunity in prosecutions against people. I couldn't be sued personally or civilly because I was a deputy district attorney, okay? And the only time that I ran afoul of that or would come close is when I went beyond my job as a prosecutor and started actually working more as an investigator by, you know, working with the police to investigate this, to investigate that, reviewing warrants. Now I get into the qualified immunity section. I have the absolute immunity as a DA, but if my own conduct takes me into a different purview, now it's qualified immunity where I have to prove stuff. With her, the court still said you have the absolute immunity as the clerk, So the clerk of the county can't be sued, but let's talk about you as an individual. And that's when the court said, yeah, you don't have qualified immunity as an individual here to gut the lawsuit from the get-go.
But I have a question about that, Todd. It's probably a dumb question, which, as you know, is nothing new for me. But that is, if you're immune when you're for your duties as the county clerk, if you abrogate those duties as a county clerk, it seems to me like you're comparing an apple to an apple, and you can't say, well, you were the clerk, you didn't do your duty, therefore we can sue you as an individual. That would fall into the cloud of the performance of a duty, would it not?
Well, that's because you're going outside the purview of your duty. What she did, there was nothing in the Rowan County Code that authorized her to not issue licenses to same-sex couples.
Does the code say shall or might or may or will?
It's silent, but there was nothing that gave her the discretion, certainly nothing that gave her the affirmative discretion to say, you know what, I think you deserve a license and you don't because I disagree with your persuasion or whatever.
And so she stopped signing all.
She stopped signing all this, and by doing so, abrogated her responsibility as a clerk. So the clerk can't be, the clerk's office and her as the clerk can't be sued, but her as an individual for not doing her job and then for under the color of authority acting as a government official, even though she's injecting her own personal, she can face individual liability for it. I mean, the big deal here is, follow me on this. If you sue the clerk's office, who pays the damages?
Well,
the government entity does, right?
Of course, sure.
All right.
Sure.
If you sue a person individually, who pays the damages? You got to pay for it out of your own pocket. And that's the biggest difference here. In essence, what the court is saying here is that the lawsuit can't be brought against the clerk's office to have the county pay the damages necessarily, but the lawsuit can be brought against you individually. So if she loses, she's the one that has to write the check.
Can the clerk buy liability insurance? Should elected officials then buy a specific type of insurance to cover themselves? Because you know what? It seems to me, based on what you're saying, any court could come up with a workaround. If they didn't agree with what the action was politically, they could come up against her. And I don't know if this is a political point or not, but I'm saying, how do you defend yourself against that?
Well, and I want to point this out, and this gets back to what we talked about earlier when we started this, was this doesn't mean that the court's ruling doesn't mean that she loses.
Right.
All the court means is that a lawsuit can be filed with your name on it. I mean, sometimes lawsuits get filed, and you can go in if you are incorrectly named and say, look, the law prevents you from even suing me. You can't even get out the gate.
Right.
And the court here is saying, no, individually you can. It remains to be seen whether or not the plaintiffs can prevail, but she can't gut the lawsuit from the get-go simply because by saying, I have immunity.
I think this is going to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I fully
because
agree. Yeah.
It is two constitutional rights at odds with each other, and who's going to prevail?
Yeah, include the rights of the clerk versus the rights of the people
who
did not
rights.
Serve. And let me ask another question. Has anybody in this state ever heard of this word? Recall? If she's not doing her duty, that's how you get people out of
office. She was already not voted in. She did not make it.
So she lost the
election. She lost the re-election bid already.
We'll touch on that when we come back. One last comment about that. Now we're going to talk about Miley Cyrus, maybe going back to space with that one.
More Radio Law Talk is coming up. You can call us if you'd like, or you can go to the website for more information on that, RadioLawTalk.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771.
for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All right, so I want to finish up just a little bit on this clerk of the court in Kentucky. I want to go back in time, just take a step previous. We've analyzed this case from the standpoint of the clerk is already in place. Normally, she issues marriage licenses or has the responsibility to issue marriage licenses. And we've been viewing this from the standpoint of the couple as an aggrieved party that comes in and is denied a marriage license, right? I want to go a step back in time before the first person ever applied for a marriage license and view things from the standpoint of the clerk who claims that she, who at that point in time would have claimed that she is an aggrieved party because, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to issue a marriage license contrary to my religious beliefs. What would be the remedy for somebody that finds themselves in that position? And my thought on it is this. You chose to become a clerk of the court. right?
Of the county.
Of the county. And you knew what the responsibilities were, and you raised your arm and took an oath to fulfill the duties of the clerk of the county that included the issuance of marriage licenses. Not marriage licenses only to heterosexual couples, but marriage licenses in accordance with the law. All right? And you took a duty to uphold the law as it is, okay? If you had a conscientious objection to performing your duties, your remedy as the clerk is to not take the position. If it's an elected position...
Or resign if you were there.
If it's an elected position, don't run. If the law changed after you were there, then it's your responsibility to resign. If you cannot fill the functions for which you were appointed, elected, or otherwise hired, your remedy... That would be like a cop saying, well, I got a moral objection to guns. They're not going to let you do patrol if you're not going to carry a firearm.
But you see, the people have redress against an elected official.
Yes.
The people can always remove her from office. They can recall her or get her out by the next election.
Which they did.
They have the redress. So I don't see where the harm is from that perspective. I understand there may be individual couples who say, I'm offended, just like there are couples who are offended if a baker won't bake them a cake because they're either heterosexual or gay, whatever it may be.
No,
I can see where they're offended.
It's
but
very more... It's not the same-sex issue. She refused to issue any marriage license. Can you imagine her attorney? She goes to her attorney and she says, look, this is against my religious belief. And they're going to go, well, if you just issue licenses to heterosexual couples, then you're going to be discriminating against same-sex. So just don't issue any. Don't do your job at all.
But
right?
She had deputies do it. They were still issued. She just wouldn't do it. They had deputies that the county did not stop issuing marriage licenses. They were issued.
Yeah, but she stopped doing any herself.
Right.
Yes.
She thought, I'm protecting myself by not issuing any licenses. And that is absolutely not going to be protective for her.
Well,
that's not going to give her a defense.
That's the best solution she could come up with, I guess.
And the interesting thing is she could do that individually, but my guess is that every marriage license is issued, whether she physically issued the license or not, is going to bear the seal of the county clerk's office, which is going to have her name on it during the term of her office.
Right.
And so even though she had a deputy do it, this is from the clerk's office, and so her name's still going to be on that thing, even though she didn't do that. But look, I think we've discussed this one enough. The point is, if she had a problem with it, she should have resigned. And she ultimately did. But she's still going to face liability. But that's why we got into that one. Now let's shift gears here. Miley Cyrus, okay? Talking about marriage. And, you know, we went from space down to Earth, and now we're going to go back to space again.
Lost in space.
She's a star. But Miley Cyrus's marriage to Chris Hemsworth... Liam Hemsworth. That's right. Chris is Thor.
Is the older brother.
Yeah, he's the older brother. He's Thor in the Avengers. Liam is the younger brother, and, you know, I know it's a shock. A celebrity marriage is coming to an end. It rarely happens, but this one is happening. Denise?
These two dated on and off for over a decade.
They did?
And they got married, and 8 months after they got married, they're now separating. And they're both making allegations against the other. The Cyrus camp has said that Liam was doing drugs and misusing alcohol, and the Liam camp is saying that Miley Cyrus was just too out front with her relationships with women.
And
before they got married, obviously Liam knew that Miley Cyrus was, you know, bisexual.
That was
pretty much out there. She admitted it to it and all of that.
And she knew that he was using drugs. How could she not?
Maybe that's an allegation that I'm not sure that he's even been made public.
I mean, if it were valid.
Exactly.
If he were using, she would certainly know.
Then she would have known him in advance.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So now they're starting to get a little bit in each other's face, which they don't need to. After 8 months of marriage, it didn't work. You guys save your careers. Just let it go.
Walk away.
They came from such diverse cultural backgrounds. he's extremely conservative family, and her family's not.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're very opposite. Very lovely families. I don't mean anything negative about that, but they just don't mesh. Their relationship was kind of an odd when it started. It was kind of odd when they got married all of a sudden.
So your advice to them, if they came to you, one of them came to you seeking counsel, would, I mean, I know you're not giving
them
anything about it.
Well, I hope you have a prenup, first of all, which I'm assuming they do, but I don't know that. And just let's make it peaceful. Let's just get out of it. Irreconcilable differences. Nobody's at fault for this. Walk away. Walk away. Save your careers.
That sounds logical.
So TMZ is reporting that they did have a prenup that means that whatever, I mean, look, we're talking about a marriage that only lasted 7 months.
Eight.
Okay, or seven, 8 months.
Right.
Well, was it 7 or 8 at the time of the separation? I think you could make the argument that when you go on, you know, the marital assets, marital assets, the community property stops at the time of separation, not necessarily the time of the divorce or filing. Can that make that argument?
That is correct.
So whatever they made collectively over those 7 or 8 months is all that would be subject to community property law anyway.
Depending on what the prenuptial says.
And the prenup apparently says that everything was separate property. So,
yeah.
So I don't think that this is an issue.
So what's the big deal?
This is an issue here. But let me put a different spin on it, because and this is important because we have listeners that are in a bunch of different states: Tennessee and Kentucky and Pennsylvania,
Texas.
California is a no-fault state. You don't have to prove adultery to get your divorce. You don't have to prove. You can simply say irreconcilable differences, and the divorce is done. In other jurisdictions, notably Tennessee, and I say that because that's where Miley Cyrus was raised.
That's right.
And in those jurisdictions, you do have to prove
that's a fault
some
state.
Sort of fault in order to get the divorce and how things are split. But in California, you don't. And so the question is, why are they bringing all this stuff up? I would submit that they are bringing this up because of their careers. Follow me on this one. Okay? It's very common for the fans of both sides and collective fans to say, well, team this person, team that person. And whoever is viewed as being the villain causing the breakup stands to lose a fan base, especially on Twitter, where your fan base can go down, and maybe you make a lot of money on your following and the number of folks there, and this could very well be a play that has nothing to do with the legal ramifications, but the ability to continue to court followers of the general public by saying, I'm the one that was the saint in this relationship, they're the reason I split, and vice versa. It's all about trying to appeal to the fan base. And then there's my skeptical conspiracy theory thing that is funny that this is all happening around the same time Miley Cyrus is releasing an album, and I wonder what sort of buzz this generates about her music.
Well, if Miley Cyrus was a songwriter and a singer, and she used to be part of Disney, and she used to be seen as this, you know, perfect little person, and then she turned 18... And she decided, I'm breaking out.
Yeah.
And she's then became the bad girl in a lot of ways and has, you know, lived her life almost as a bad girl.
And musically has been fighting to maintain relevance.
That's true.
That's right.
That is very true, because she comes from a country kind of hillbilly rock background.
Right.
And she came into pop. And now she's trying to, like, break out with her, now I'm going to forget that song, the one where there's Wrecking Ball. Wrecking Ball.
Right.
So we're moving up to the bottom of the hour. All I'm going to say is what's going on has nothing to do with the legal ramifications, has everything to do with non-legal stuff. We'll be back.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.